Hey guys, this is Robert Rochelle with D3VBWest.com, and today, with the regional rankings released in order on Wednesday, today what I'd like to do is actually a mock selection for the NCAA tournament and see who is the odds-on favorite to get an at-large bid. So I'm going to apologize at the top because I think I'm going to have to move around today where I record. So the audio quality is going to vary, I believe. I'm also going to mispronounce some school names, which will be told to me in an email from Ricky Nelson, as he makes fun of me when I do that. It does make for a great drinking game. Every time I mispronounce a school, take a drink. Please do not do that if you are driving. So I've done this in the past when we've had an NCAA tournament, and so it's kind of interesting because it kind of solidifies who are the teams that are kind of pretty much locked in for an at-large and who is a bubble team, and it's, to me, it's just extraordinarily interesting. So the process, what I first have to do on this is I have to determine the conference automatic qualifiers. And of course, I'm going to get some of those wrong. In some cases, it doesn't matter. It's going to be someone that obviously is going to win the conference tournament, but it really doesn't matter because whoever doesn't get it isn't going to be a candidate for an at-large. And that happens quite a lot in a number of these conferences. In some cases, it does matter because the conference champion may have a worse chance than another team that would get an at-large. So depending on who wins in that conference, we may have a better candidate for an at-large bid or we may have a worse candidate for an at-large bid. And as always, we've seen it in the past, the tournaments can result in upsets. And when this happens, you may have a team that you may have a team that wasn't going to get an at-large win the automatic qualifier, the Pool A bid, and that puts the team that should have won the conference tournament, a team that, let's say, potentially has an at-large candidate to be an at-large candidate, puts them back in the pool. And ultimately, what that in essentially does is it reduces the Pool C, the at-large pool, by one team, because that was a bid that would have gone to someone else that now has to go to this conference champion where it wasn't going to go before, if that makes any kind of sense. So this is a lot of words to just say, basically say that there are a lot of variations, variables out there that we cannot cover when I do this mock draft, this mock simulation of the at-large bids. And just know that. Now, what I'm going to do today is I'm going to use a tool that was created by our friend Ned out of New England. And he's got a couple tools. He's got a projection tool, and it can implement different scenarios on how the racks will analyze the criteria. Now, I chose for this simulation to use only three criteria with this tool, and that is win-loss percentage, SOS, strength of schedule, and ranked results. I'm going to not really focus on head-to-head and common opponent because it gets to be kind of a mess. And for the most part, when you look at teams nationally, there isn't a lot of crossover. And especially this year when we didn't have a lot of travel. I will look a little bit at the end, specifically with Southwestern, because I think they're kind of an interesting team. They're also my team, but they're also an interesting team when it comes to this comparison. Now I did decide those three criteria. I decided to basically use a 33% split on those three criteria. So they're weighted equally. And with ranked results, Ned has a nice little feature that you can really use the win-loss percentage, which is not how you should use it. Or he uses a scaled version, which basically gives more emphasis on teams that beat, a better team in the ranked, you know, regionally ranked better teams than they would someone else. So for instance, you would get more points or more benefit if you beat Calvin versus if you beat Keene. And that's really the way the ranked results are supposed to work. Now it's still automated, so there's going to be issues, but I went with this scaled version because I think it mimics better what the racks should do, not necessarily what they will do. And then I also ran a simulation at the end that uses the ranked results win percentage, and we can kind of see how that makes things different. Now, the first thing that I decided to do with this projection tool was actually eliminate all of the automatic qualifiers. And that shows us who the simulation tool thinks are the 20 best teams. So, as I mentioned, the problem with this mock selection is that I have to eliminate 44 teams because I have to have the pool A, the automatic qualifiers, removed from the equation because they can't get at large bids. So if you follow one of those teams, then this exercise will give you an indication of how safe you should feel in case they get upset in the tournament. So to go through the list of 20, and what I'm going to try and do is probably put some of this information on the website in an article so you can see it there. And what we will do here is just go through the list. I just turned off my phone, by the way. That's what the beep was. So it's really no surprise the number one team, and I'm going to try and do this pretty quick. Most of these teams are pretty obvious. The ordering's kind of interesting. Johns Hopkins, number one. Calvin, number two. Hope, number three. Eau Claire, number four. Wartburg, number five. Juniata, number six. Claremont Mud Scripps, number seven. Trinity, number eight. Whitewater, nine. Colorado College, 10. New York University, 11. Emory, 12. Northwestern, 13. Ohio Northern, 14. Stevens Point, 15. Chicago, 16. Oterbien, 17. And that may have been a drink, by the way. Wittenberg, 18. Denison, interesting. Denison, 19. And Gustavus Adolphus, 20. I think I got that right, so don't drink on that. So those are the 20. Not a huge surprise on a lot of them. I'm not particularly thrilled with Chicago, but I can look at their criteria and see that, yeah, based on the criteria, they're probably a no-brainer. Wittenberg, I think, is an interesting one there, right? Denison, very interesting. Keep in mind, Denison just beat Wittenberg this week. It won't be included in the simulation because it happened this week. But that's extraordinarily interesting that Denison is considered one of the 20 best teams in the nation by this simulation tool based on the three-slot election criteria. And then Gustavus Adolphus, 20. They're kind of interesting as well to be that high. So what I did next is I indicated which teams I thought would get the automatic qualifier, or the pool A bid, as it's referred to. And I had some interesting selections that I needed to go through. So I'm gonna do some spoilers here, and I'm gonna go through these because you might be interested in some of these teams. I had Christopher Newport winning the Coast to Coast because I was really interested in UC Santa Cruz and what their chances were. And I will say that right now, the simulation tool really likes Santa Cruz a lot more than Christopher Newport. And after running the simulation, I will give you a spoiler. Christopher Newport, if they had been considered an at-large, would not have received an at-large bid. I had IWU winning the CCIW over Carthage. And just so you know, IWU would not have been an at-large selection if they had been put into the pool. I had Eastern winning over Stevenson and Messiah in the Commonwealth. They had the worst at-large chance per the regional rankings, and no, they would not be getting an at-large if they were in the pool. I had Earlham over Mount St. Joseph in the Heartland. Both of those teams are bubble teams based on this simulation. Earlham has a better chance, obviously, than Mount St. Joseph because they are regionally ranked higher. I took Calvin over Hope in the MIA just to annoy a certain listener slash coach up there in Maine. This choice won't matter because both are getting in. I took Denison in the North Coast Athletic Conference. Right now, they would get an at-large. Obviously, they were one of the top 20. They will get an at-large. If you're hoping for the most at-large spots possible, at this point, just hope that Denison and Wittenberg, one of those two, win that conference. You don't want a third team coming in and putting both of those teams in the at-large pool, because I think both of them have a really good chance of getting it. The MIAC is a problem. Bethel, Gustavus Adolphus, Hamline all have a good chance. I decided to take Bethel. They probably get an at-large team, or at the very least are a bubble team if I had put them in the if I had put them in the at-large pool. I took Ohio Northern in the OIC. They would receive an at-large if they were in the pool. I left Southern Virginia as a possible at-large candidate. Although I could have them win their conference, they're just three strong choices for the USA conference, but I don't think any of them will get an at-large if they don't win the title. Once I was done with all of this, I was ready to run a simulation, but there is a big issue that everyone needs to be aware of. The tool doesn't always agree with the regional rankings, just like you or I probably don't agree with all the regional rankings. So here are some of the bigger issues that I noticed when looking at this. Region 1, Wesleyan has a simulation number of 514, which is, and they're placed ahead of Tufts, who has a number of 558. Now, I actually looked at this yesterday because I thought it was strange that Wesleyan was there as the number one pick in the Region 1. But Wesleyan has a head-to-head over Tufts, and so this is kind of an example of how one criterion, this head-to-head criterion, can skew the ordering and put a team with a better at-large chance behind another team that doesn't. So just keep that in mind, and actually it'll become a player in the simulation. Region 5 has Haverford and Stevenson ahead of Susquehanna and Scranton. Haverford has a head-to-head over Scranton. The issue is that it looks like the RAC went mainly by ranked results winning percentage, while the tool likes ranked results, because that's how I set it up. And so, looking at Stevenson and Susquehanna, I'm not really sure why the RAC did that particular ordering. I like Susquehanna more than Stevenson based on the criteria. Regardless, this is a case where the tool says the RAC is blocking teams that have a better chance at an at-large bid. So, that's also going to come up in the simulation. Region 7, the tool really likes Wittenberg and believes Oterbien is blocking them. And again, I may have messed that up, so another drink. Region 8, the tool hates Washington University. And they're going to prevent any of the teams behind them, regionally ranked, from getting selection. In this case, it's Mount St. Joseph and Concordia, Wisconsin. I'm also not a fan of Washington University, but I looked at this yesterday based on the comment from somebody, and they kind of deserve to be there in, when you look at it. But if I am the RAC, I am going to get Washington University out of there, just because they really do hold up teams behind them that have a better chance. Region 9, the tool hates the ranking of St. Olaf. And they feel that they're blocking Hamline. I don't think it matters in the grand scheme of things, but St. Olaf has just got a horrible, horrible number in this simulation tool. So what all of that means is that we potentially are not going to get the best 20 teams for an at-large bid according to the tool because we've got teams blocking. That actually happens in real life. It really comes down to how the National Selection Committee is going to evaluate ranked results. And in truth, that pretty much is the case every year. It's the criterion that causes the most heartache with myself and with others. And we'll talk about that more as we go. All right, that's a lot of words. To get to where we are now, which is the 20 round mock selection for the at-large bids based on the second round of regional rankings. And before I do, because even more words, let me tell you the 10 teams that are up for consideration based on the regional rankings. They are Region 1, Wesleyan, Region 2, MIT, Region 3, Merchant Marine. 4 is Stevens, 5 is Haverford, 6 is Emory. I gave the UAA to NYU, so NYU is in as a pool A, and Emory has to get an at-large. Region 7 is Hope. Region 8 is Wisconsin-Whitewater. 9 is Gustavus Adolphus, and 10 is Colorado College. Those are the teams up for this first round, and the first pick that of your at-large goes to Hope. They had a ridiculous number in the tool of 8-11. They're the first pick, and remember, when we take a team away from a region, we give another team lower on the ordering to replace them, and in this case, it's Otterbein. Man, you guys are going to get drunk on me just saying that school. And now we go to pick number 2. We've got another no-brainer, and it's Wisconsin-Whitewater. They come off the board with a 720 number, and we have Wisconsin-Stevens Point replacing them. With the third at-large selection, we're going with Colorado College. They have a 659 number, and Southwestern will replace them. Most of these picks for the first 10 or 11 are pretty straightforward. Emory comes in at 4. They have a 637 number. UC Santa Cruz will replace them. Stevens Point just came in to replace Whitewater. They're selected 5th. They have a 583 number, and Chicago will replace them. My cat is joining the pod here, it seems. Now, here was our first blocking according to the simulation tool, as Stevens Point was slightly blocking Chicago. Chicago, therefore, is our pick here in the number 6 spot. So that's two Region 8 teams that go back-to-back. Their number was 587. As I mentioned, Stevens Point had a 583 number. So, you know, the 583 is going to play, and then, of course, the 587 is going to play in the simulation tool. Washington University now replaces them, and spoiler alert, this does shut down Region 8 from any further selections, because the tool does not like Washington University. Number 7, Otterbein, goes next with a 554 number, and hopefully that's the last time I have to say that school's name. Wittenberg replaces them. Oh, dang, it's not the last time. I mentioned before that Otterbein was blocking Wittenberg, so it's no surprise that Wittenberg makes it next. So back-to-back Region 7 teams. Wittenberg's number was 599. Mount Union replaces them. The number 9 selection is Gustavus Adolphus. They have a 545 number. St. Olaf replaces them, and that's going to shut down Region 9 from any more selection. St. Olaf's number, in case you're curious, is 405. So number 10, we're halfway through. With this pick, it's going to be UC Santa Cruz. They have a 544 number. Randolph Macon replaces them. So that's the first 10 selections, the first 10 at-large bids. Number 11, MIT, they have a 540 number. They are the choice. They're the first New England Northeast team, New England or New York team, to go. It's not going to be the last New England team. Springfield will replace them. Number 12, lucky number 12 for me, as Southwestern gets chosen here. Their number is 524. You can kind of see MIT had a 540 number. Southwestern has a 524 number, so kind of a drop-off there. Pomona Pitzer will replace them. What's interesting here is to kind of look at who's blocked and who the tool likes better than Southwestern. We have Tufts, who's currently being blocked by Wesleyan. We have Susquehanna, who's currently being blocked by Haverford and Stevenson. We also have Muskegon, who's blocked by Mount Union. So not too bad, and an indication that even if the ordering were different, Southwestern would probably get selected around 15th. But there is some blocking going on still. Number 13, we have another New England team, Wesleyan. I just mentioned them. And since they were blocking, we're going to get some Region 1 teams here. Wesleyan's number was 514. Tufts replaces Wesleyan, and they immediately get selected. Their number was 558. Middlebury wasn't really being blocked in Region 1, but they're going to go next. They have a 507 number. They're replaced by Amherst, so that's three Region 1 teams that go in a row. and we're now up to 16. There are five picks left, and we still have Susquehanna and Scranton blocked, according to the tool, by Haverford and Stevenson. This pick fixes half of the problem. With Haverford getting selected, they have a 495 number. They're replaced by Stevenson. Number 17, Springfield, is the next selection. They have a number of 489. MIT went 11th, and Springfield will now make it five New England teams selected between regions 1 and 2. The Coast Guard Academy is up next for this region. Number 18, I guess you could say boom goes the dynamite, as Stevenson is selected from region 5, and that opens the floodgates as the next two picks are also coming from the region. Remember, they were blocking Susquehanna, they had a 542 number, and Scranton, they have a 514 number. Those are the next two picks. That's 19 and 20. That is all that I can dole out in my mock simulation. And it's interesting to note that Stevenson, of the 20 teams, has the lowest number per the projection tool at 585. There were no selections from the two New York regions, but Stevens was the next, the 21st pick, that would have gone if I had another at-large bid. Two teams that would have been selected if not blocked were Muskegon. It's region 7. They have a 530 number. And Mount St. Joseph's, Region 8, they have a 490 number. Those two teams, the tool says, should have been selected. They were blocked. If they had been selected, then Stevenson and Springfield would have been the teams replaced. So the tool says, hey, put Mount St. Joseph, put Muskegon in, take away Stevenson, take away Springfield. Springfield would then be the 21st choice. If that had occurred, they would have been the team left out. The National Selection Committee is not going to perform like our projection tool, but I think it does show, what the bubble teams are. Who are the bubble teams? We have Haverford, although I kind of think that the tool underrepresents them. I think they're going to get in, but Haverford would be a bubble team. Springfield's a bubble team. Stevenson, Mount St. Joseph, Concordia, Wisconsin, Stevens, Susquehanna, although the tool says they really aren't a bubble team, they just got blocked. Scranton is another bubble team. Really, I think when I look at it, any team that was taken after MIT in this simulation is probably a bubble team, and that starts with Southwestern. I think when you start with Southwestern and you look at all the other teams and you look at the teams I just mentioned, I think those are all your bubble teams for, what is that, 8 spots. That's right now, of course. Some quick bookkeeping. With this simulation, Region 5 has the most at-large bids with 4. Region 3 and Region 4, those are the New York regions, have 0. The New England Small College Athletic Conference has 3. Let's see, the Landmark, the NUMAC, the SCAC, the UAA, and the WIAC all get 2 teams in with an at-large bid according to this simulation. One interesting note, it's a Region X note. I'm kind of intrigued with Mary Hardin Baylor. Their schedule is, from a strength of schedule perspective, is one of the lowest, one of the worst schedules in the region. But obviously they've had a great year. They've only had 1 loss. And they were kind of the story the first week because they were not regionally ranked, although they were undefeated at the time. So that was kind of strange, very strange. And they are ranked this time and they got ranked 5th. So they jumped a bunch of teams, and they actually, lost a match, during that time as well. So I thought that was interesting, but what intrigues me is does Mary Hardin Baylor have an at large chance if they get upset in the tournament? And based on this simulation, they're a bubble team. So I was kind of thinking they would be probably not selected simply because of the low strength of schedule. And it's quite possible the National Selection Committee will kind of have a bias towards that and just not even consider them. But if I just look at the criteria as black and white, they're definitely a bubble team, and in this simulation would have been selected right before Stevenson in this simulation. So, and that's, you know, now if the teams weren't blocked and everything came out in order, then Mary Harden Baylor would not have been selected. But in this simulation, if I had given UT Dallas or some other team in the AAC the title and put Mary Harden Baylor into this simulation, Mary Harden Baylor would have been selected as an at-large team. Another team that I was interested in, and again, it has Region X, Region 10 implications, is UC Santa Cruz. I thought their simulation number was a tad high to me, and so they were taken 2 picks ahead of Southwestern. I wanted to compare them a little more in depth and kind of look at it. And when I did, Santa Cruz has a better record. I guess you could say they have a better ranked results and they have a better common opponent. Ranked results is kind of a push, but regardless, they're very close, and I can definitely see Santa Cruz being ahead of Southwestern. So a nice little sanity check there. That was the 10th selection and the 12th selection going at it. But very close. But I don't know, just interesting that the tool had the Santa Cruz's number. I think it was about 20 points higher than Southwestern. Now, I didn't really use the comparison tool. It was the second tool that Ned's created during the simulation. So I did want to do some spot checking, like I did with, you know, Santa Cruz and Southwestern, using this tool. And I started back with Southwestern at 12. And the reason I chose Southwestern is not because they're the team I particularly follow, but because I think there was a drop off between MIT and them in the number. And I think that's where you can kind of see the bubble teams start to be selected or not be selected. And so I wanted to look a little more in depth. Southwestern was the 12th team. Wesleyan was the 13th. I kind of compared those two teams. Southwestern has record and common opponent. Wesleyan has a strength of schedule and rank results. It really depends on whether the national committee likes Southwestern's win over Aurora more than the in-region wins that Wesleyan has. You know, if they like Wesleyan's ranked results better, that's fine. That becomes a tie. The committee may side with strength of schedule and give Wesleyan the win here. So, but very close between those two teams. So, but once you get past Wesleyan, you know, we had Tufts come in. I think Tufts beats out Southwestern. Then you have Middlebury, and I think they could beat out Southwestern as well. Again, it depends on how the committee is looking at that ranked result criterion. Haverford was the next team that came in. You know, I could see a way that the committee could look at that and say that Haverford beats out Southwestern. It's really only when I get to Springfield where I might give the nod to Southwestern. So you can see when I said that everyone, you know, starting with Southwestern on down is probably a bubble team, and this is the reason why. It's like these comparisons are really, really close. This is where the National Selection Committee spends most of their time. There's going to be a drop off to where, yeah, no, Hope is obvious. Let's put them in. Whitewater is obvious. Put them in. But you're going to get down to these selections, and this is where the time is, and they're going to use all five criteria and do the best job they can. And regardless of what they do, I am quite confident that I will complain about it. But that's just the nature of what we're doing here. So, I guess my message with this is that a lot of this, what's really going to be huge, is how the national committee evaluates the New England teams, because for the most part they did not travel. And since you can rank more teams in the Northeast, because there's more regions now, they split up the New England and New York, and you can drive to all of these teams, so you can pick and choose in your scheduling, you know, which teams you want to go to. So you gain this huge advantage when it comes to not only ranked results, but strength of schedule. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the national committee handles that. Do they go ahead and say, hey, that's just the way the criteria is? It may be biased, but that's, we're going to go by the criteria. So it's again, it's, you know, it's just going to be interesting to see how they do it, and ranked results is going to be one of those areas that you could really kind of go back and forth on depending on how you look at it. And I think, you know, when we get to selection day, I think Region 1, Region 2, and Region 5 are going to be the story. how many of those at-large bids are going to go to those regions. And that's going to tell us how many are left for the other teams, and it's going to tell us how biased the selection criteria ended up being for that Northeast and Mid-Atlantic area. I mentioned this at the top, but one final little fun thing that I wanted to do, and I did, was I changed the criteria to focus on ranked results win percentage, which is really in violation of the selection criteria wording. But I often fear that's what the RACs do at times. So instead of using the scaled approach where I give credit more so toward, or the tool gives more credit towards quality wins versus just a win is a win, this just looks at the percentage. So beating Calvin is the same thing as beating Keene here. Losing to Hope is the same thing as losing to, Keene as well. So when I did this, we had some pretty big changes occur in the ordering, and we had a few teams that got swapped out. So some of the more interesting things, Whitewater, they were the first team chosen. It wasn't Hope. We had six teams come out of Region 1 and 2. Those are the New England regions, and they would definitely typically benefit from this type of a viewpoint. They get to play a lot of regionally ranked teams because they rank more. So this is something that would definitely benefit them. And the simulation kind of bears that out. We actually get a New York team and Merchant Marine selected. So again, it helps those bigger regions. Haverford, who I said was a bubble team, they're the fourth team selected overall. So you can kind of see how Region 5, the RAC at Region 5, is thinking. They're putting a little more emphasis on the win-loss of the regionally ranked teams. And this region would actually get five teams selected if the National Selection Committee goes with this particular viewpoint. The teams that were selected in my original simulation that would not be selected in this, interestingly, Chicago, Wittenberg, and Gustavus Adolphus. Those were pretty much slam dunks in the other simulation, and they're not there in this one. The three teams that make it in, Merchant Marine, Messiah, and Amherst. So I don't know, just interesting, and shows you by altering the criteria, altering the viewpoint, how you can get different teams in or out, and how the ordering changes. I think, as I end all this, the thing to remember is that things have already changed with the parameters of this simulation. Ranked results are based off the teams from the previous week. And so, since some of those teams are no longer ranked this week, it really has a ripple effect that we don't see in these simulations. And it can dramatically impact the regional ranking order and dramatically impact the selections, in these simulations or in real life. So, everything that I've done is kind of outdated, and that's just the way it is, with the way that the selection criteria is set up with these ranked results. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed all of this. I'll try to capture some of this in a post, so that I know this was a lot of information and a lot of drinking. And oh, by the way, I know it's Otterbein. I just wanted you guys to drink. But that's it for now. This is Rob Rochelle with D3 VB West, and until next time, I'll see you later.